According to the Yale Center for Dyslexia and Creativity, dyslexia is still the most common learning disorder on the planet. It affects about 1 in 5 individuals. And now, parents in Connecticut with dyslexic learners have a resource available to them to help. It's called Right to Read Advocacy LLC, and this is a specialized service supporting families and children through their journey of dyslexia. Joining us now is Jennifer. She is a Weston resident, a mother of three, and she started this consultancy work because her youngest son was diagnosed with dyslexia. And Jennifer joins us now. Jennifer, thank you for being on the show. And talk to us a little bit about what was missing. When you found out your son had dyslexia, where did you feel like there were gaps? I would believe then led you to wanting to do this consultant work.
Sure. Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me back on the show, particularly for Dyslexia Awareness Month. So my son, Evan, I started seeing signs in kindergarten, which was a tricky time, right? Because it was during COVID. Mm-hmm. And as he started to eventually receive services, I still felt like it wasn't clicking for him. By the end of second grade, even after intensive service in the district, he still couldn't read, you know, a basic word such as cat. Right? He had to sound out every letter of every word every time. Mm-hmm. So we were really concerned about that as he was aging up. And I have two older kids, and I saw the reading process was very different for them as they learned to read.
It is really interesting. And I think, too, would you say, Jennifer, from your own experience and what you've learned since your son's diagnosis, do you feel like there are red flags that the average family maybe misses or they get too late to then get intervention earlier on?
For sure. I mean, there are definitely red flags. And you mentioned the Yale Center for Dyslexia and Creativity at the beginning. It's a great resource. They do list some of those signs by age and grade level. So starting, you know, with kindergarten, maybe not being able to rhyme, not understanding that there's a sound association with each letter. As they get older, maybe shying away from reading. If they're in class and the teacher says that, you know, they have to go to the bathroom every time we have to, you know, start to read. So there are definitely signs along the way. And it's really important, like you said, not to wait because early intervention is key to effective, you know, reading remediation.
But we've definitely seen that's been an issue. I have education experts and officials with the state mm-hmm. on all the time. And one of the biggest reasons that we're sort of late to the game is because it costs money and it means we need resources in our schools to give kids, for example, an IEP or to have them tested appropriately mm-hmm. or early enough. So we tend to wait and then the gap gets a lot larger. So kids are waiting till about third grade and then it's mm-hmm. wow, it's this daunting. We didn't see this coming. But the parents a lot of times are like, what are you talking about? I saw this when they were 3 or 4 years old and now we've missed the
right.
boat. So talk about really the effectiveness of having Right to Read Advocacy, for example, and how does that work sort of partnering with your child school to get them the services they need early on?
For sure. And let's just back up when you mentioned about the state. I mean, we're really fortunate to have some legislation in place that other states don't have, which include the K-3 reading screener. So starting there, if you have a child at that age and that grade, ask to see the reading screener. It should be administered 2 to 3 times a year in the school district. And that right there should give you a good indication if there are some signs that your child is struggling to read. You know, that's a key point we bring to families with Right to Read Advocacy. But we do help kind of demystify the process because it is a process and it is an overwhelming one to get your child not only classified for special education, but also to make sure that the services are delivered with fidelity day in and day out by a teacher who has some proper training. And we just help along the way, yeah.
Can I really quickly go back to what you said with the reading screener? Is that required yeah. for students in the public mm-hmm. schools mm-hmm. to have done?
Absolutely. So in the state of Connecticut, it is mandated that the school district uses an approved K-3 screener for kids in those grades.
So if you
it's
go
just a quick screener, it could be something like the Dibbles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you go to your like the parent teacher conferences, you could just ask the teacher, can I see my kid's reading screener score or something? Like, what do you ask? What are you looking
yeah,
for?
Yeah, absolutely. For those reading screener results. So the interesting thing is that it's mandated for the districts to provide and, you know, use the screener, but it's not mandated that they report to parents.
Wow.
So they're not willingly going to send it home for you to say, oh, there's an issue here. But if you ask for it, they will give it to you. I have heard some districts give willingly. I actually only one that I've heard of. But it's definitely worth asking, even if you don't suspect anything, because that's often the problem. Like, we didn't know as parents, right? So just ask, no matter what.
And what are you looking for, Jennifer? Especially because, again, it's really confusing, I would think, as a parent for pre-K and then K through, I'd say, almost like third grade, especially if it's your first kid. I mean, what are you looking for? So let's say they hand you that reading screener, you know, exam results or whatever that may look like, because this is new to me. I've never heard of this. What are you looking for?
Yeah.
Where do you know, like, wait a minute, that's below average, or wait, that's of concern, or what are we looking for?
And the screener result should show you those percentile rankings. So your child scored X, that is in the 50th percentile. Or maybe that's below the 25th percentile, which is when you would have reason for concern. So you're not just getting numbers per se, but you should also have some type of percentile ranking of where your child falls. Or it could say below average, below basic, you know, less than proficient, right? There are all these types of terminology that different screeners use, but there will be some type of standard that you're going to look at your child's score against.
I gotcha. You know, and one of the things, Jennifer, coming back to the work that you're doing that is so important is a lot of times parents, again, they don't know until they know afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have, you know, the advocacy that they need when they go into these meetings when they're trying to get their kids services. A lot of times, again, this is brand new to them. So having, you know, somebody have your back and go, wait a second, no, we need something for our kids. We need services or we need intervention. That's a very important thing. I mean, would you agree that that's unfortunately something a lot of families face is either they can't financially, you know, afford to have an advocate come with them to these meetings or they just don't even realize that, wait, we waited too long. We should have had an advocate with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you're saying, you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes we realize that too late that it would have been helpful because it does start at the very beginning of the process. So, for example, you express concern and you get to that IEP table with, you know, 10 other folks in your district, and it can be really overwhelming. You're not sure what to ask for. You trust that everybody is on the same page and wants to do the right thing for your child, but often does come down to a matter of resources. So you can say, I have challenges. I'm concerned that my child is having challenges reading. And they say, oh, we don't see that. Your child has an A in reading, or, you know, whatever it might be. And you can say, oh, no, wait, I have this data, right? So maybe an advocate could help prepare. Like, we have the screener, we have X, we have you know, other concerns. So I think just knowing what to ask for at the table, what the laws are around special education. We actually just did a webinar last night in town, like, what are your rights as a parent in special education? And I will say the State Department of Connecticut, I believe it's their Bureau of Special Education, has a great handbook online. Again, something I didn't read till too late in the game, but for parents to look at that handbook, and it really explains well what the process is, how to navigate. And I would highly recommend to glance at that if you're starting this journey.
Well, Jennifer, again, a Weston resident, a mother of three, the founder of Right to Read Advocacy, I want to thank you for not just keeping your journey as your journey, but sharing your insight with so many other families here in Connecticut. If people want more information, make sure you check out this website, righttoreadadvocacy.com. We'll also share it on our website, voiceofct.com, under Melissa in the Morning.